So it's interesting to think that intelligence, it's beyond dispute. Intelligence can occupy matter. It's fantastic when you think about it. But what's interesting about it is that people look up and say, you know, it's really hard to believe that intelligence could occupy the whole universe. But because we have 6 billion intelligences occupying physical bodies on this planet, and they are everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, there are people around us. And they're so omnipresent, and they're so much everywhere that we just take it for granted. We don't even question, how is it possible that intelligence can be in that body? How is it possible? We don't even think that. But because we don't really know how to talk to the Supreme Being, we don't think, well, how is it possible an intelligence can occupy the whole universe? We don't really take that for granted because there's only one of them. There's only one intelligence occupying that. But what's interesting is we're part of that intelligence. We are part of it. In the beginning was the Word, the scripture that she was quoting a minute ago. And the Word was God. And everything that is created, it tells us, was created by this Word. And the Hindus teach us that the Word was a vibration of the sacred word that they use of Om. That in the beginning, God just spoke. He breathed out, and he breathed out the Om, and the Om was a sound. It was the Word, and the Word multiplied. And we are wavelengths. We are part of that Word. And they teach that if God were to cease breathing out, the moment he were to cease breathing out, that the whole universe would just disappear. So they say, we just hope that God continues to breathe out while longer. So God breathes out the Om, the whole universe is created. And then when he breathes back in, the whole universe disappears and goes back to its native state. And then he breathes out again and a new universe is created, starting with the Big Bang as the beginning of the breath, evidently. It's funny about creation. When you read about stories of the history of the planet, and we actually got a new one today from Sharon, and I'm interested in reading this. But I haven't read any two accounts that are really the same. It's amazing how everybody's got a different twist on the history of the planet, the history of the universe, how old everything is, how old man is. There's not a lot of harmony except in the actual esoteric teachings of Alice A. Bailey, the Theosophical movement. They're quite harmonious in their teachings. And the Tibetan through Alice A. Bailey speaks with such intelligence. And many things he has said have been verified through my soul that I have a lot of faith in a lot of the things he's said about the history of the planet. That's why I put a lot of faith in the 18 million years, because he put that as the definite date. And it makes a lot of sense. It would take a long time for us to evolve the way that we have. And 18 million years does sound about right. It takes a long time for a person to change. If you've ever been married to somebody that you wound up getting divorced from, during that time period, how much did that person change to the better? When you get to know people, they don't change very quickly. They change very slowly, and yet we have gone through a lot of evolution. Can you imagine what it was like when we were lived past lives as like cavemen? How little we probably would have changed then? It goes on like a parabolic curve where our evolution just goes almost in a straight line. But then when we begin to get a little bit of soul contact, it goes up in a tremendous arc. And so the last, 1% of your lives, you gain a lot more knowledge than you did the first 99% after everything is said and done. So the last lives that you exist on this planet will be the lives where you really go through a tremendous amount of learning. Now, there are seven different spheres. We're on the lowest, the physical. The physical is composed of two things. It's composed of the physical body that we touch, and it can't go through walls or anything. And then the etheric body, and I've showed you many times how to see the etheric body. If you can hold up your hand against, there's a white board there. Put your thumb and finger together and look at this empty space in between, and you'll see a film. That's your etheric body. And your etheric body is really a second physical body. Your physical body is composed of these two bodies. Your next body is your astral body, which is composed of emotional matter. Emotional matter is manipulated and controlled by your emotions. That's why it's called emotional matter. It's also called astral matter. The astral sphere is the next sphere up, and this is where the heaven and the hells are, that's taught by the Christians. The higher levels of the astral worlds will be the heavens, and in the esoteric writings, it's called the Devachan or Devachan, several different ways to pronounce it. And the heaven is different than the Christians realize. The heaven is actually a dream state. And this is why, one reason why I think Houdini wasn't able to communicate the message back through mediums. You've all heard the story about Houdini. He left a message. Because he investigated psychism a lot, and he was very interested in it, and he wasn't sure if there was anything to it, if there was life after death or not. So he left a hidden message, and he said, "It will prove there's life after death, because after I die," he said, "I am going to try to communicate through psychics the meaning of this message. And when I communicate the right message, and it's proven to be the one that I left, that will prove there's life after death." Well, no one so far has ever received Houdini's message. So a lot of people wonder about that. But what happens when a guy has lived a fairly decent life? He goes to a place called the Devachan. And in this, it's actually a dream state, where a person, and in the dream state, it's not real. And so it's like a dream state where a person lives the fulfillment of everything he didn't achieve on this earth. He will go there. Now, keep thinking of my friend Wayne. He died a few years ago. And Curtis and I keep talking about what Wayne's probably doing in the Devachan, you know. And because in there you fulfill everything that you wish you could have done here. And one thing Wayne wished he could have done here was explain the dimensions to people. He had this theory on the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, I think up to seven or more dimensions. And he kept trying to explain it to me and Curtis. I wish Curtis was here now. He'll be here tomorrow. He would be laughing at this. Because we'd get together and Wayne would keep explaining to us these dimensions. And I was kind of courteous to Wayne. But Curtis wasn't. He would say, he would tell Wayne that that dimensions don't make any sense. And he said, "Well, you're not listening properly. Let me explain how these dimensions work." And Curtis would get, And so Curtis and I kind of envisioned Wayne being in the Devachan with the audience around him where he's explaining the dimensions to everybody, and everybody is thinking, "We get it. That is great. We understand how these dimensions work thanks to you." So we envision Wayne just teaching over and over to groups that are in awe of him about how these dimensions work.
You sound like such a bad place.
Yeah, right. But the funny part about this heavenly realm is that it's just a dream state. You're not actually, you're there, but you're not there. Just like when you're having a dream, you are there, but you're not there in a way. It's a true experience. When you dream you're being chased by a monster or on a desert island and surrounded by beautiful women, well, we'll skip that thing because I'm married here, but when when you dream you're being chased by, we'll get back to the monster. When you dream you're being chased by a monster, I mean, your heart really is beating faster, your physical heart is. It's affecting you. You are actually terrified. And so you're undergoing a true experience. It's just not in the physical realm. And this is in the David chain. You are undergoing a true experience, and you're feeling it, but it's not real. So what probably happened to Houdini is he went there, and he dreamed that he communicated with these psychics. See, he didn't have the power to really communicate with the psychics because he was in the David chain. And he was there, and he was communicating with them in his dream state, but he wasn't really communicating with them. He was just dreaming he was communicating with them. So he probably thought in the dream state that he made this tremendous breakthrough, and he became more famous than ever because he proved there was life after death. And that's probably what he underwent. In this heavenly realm. And so that's why they haven't heard from him.